The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 193, listener feedback 19. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com and pick up some great Mayberry things. Folks, if you haven't been there, you have got to go check it out. I've been talking about it for 192 episodes, and now 193. Check out weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Today's episode, executive producer is Joe Gritton. Joe Gritton. So thanks, Joe. And the Mayberry Band, ladies and gentlemen, let's give them a big round of applause. The Mayberry Band. Folks, it's great to be here with you in Mayberry. I've been gone for a week. I know if you're not in the live show, you might not even know that, but I was gone last week to Alaska. My wife and I went to Alaska. Great trip. Highly encourage it. Now, you can't go to Alaska with us, but I just want to encourage you that the Mayberry cruise is coming up in November, end of October, 1st of November of 2012. So if you're listening to it later, you've already missed it. But if you'd like to get a room or get booked on that cruise, you need to do it soon because it's going to be sold out, or they're going to have to give back all the rooms that they haven't done. So I'd love to see you with us and heading to the Mayberry cruise. You can go to allaboutcruisesnc.net and find the information there. If you'd like information about it, just email me at floyd@imayberry.com and I'll send you the link. But we'd love to have you with us on the Mayberry cruise. It's going to be fun. Almost like Alaska, but a lot warmer. Well, folks, we're going to do a listener feedback episode tonight. It's been several weeks. Actually, I look back, it was episode number 161 was the last time I dedicated an entire show to listener feedback. Wow. So I thought it was time I focused this show on you because you're the listeners. You're the ones that I do the show for. So I really am glad to hear from you when you take the time to call me or write to me. And, you can call me at 888-684-8415. And I've added a new way for you to get in touch with me by leaving a voicemail. You can actually drop by our website now at twochairsnowaiting.com. And when you get there, there's a little gray, I guess flag is what you'd call it. Over on the right side of the page, it says send voicemail. And if you click that thing, it will pop open and allow you to record a voicemail and send it to me right there from your computer. So if you have a microphone on your computer, which a lot of them do now, or if you've got a video camera that has a microphone, you can record your comments and it will email them right to me and I'll get your comments that way. So I just keep adding ways for you to get in touch with me and be able to give me your feedback. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Cause I mean, I do the show for you. So I really want to hear what you have to say about things we talk about in the past. Now we've got one here. That's a question that I don't have an answer to. So I hope you guys will be able to help me. But this one, this first message is a voicemail from Gary Page. Let's go ahead and hear from Gary.
Well, hello. I'm kind of new to the program, but boy, I sure do appreciate Mr. Alan Newsom's efforts on the podcast. Outstanding job. I have some questions that I don't think have been asked before, and I'm just curious. And I don't want to get too personal into their lives at that time, especially during the black and white series of Andy Griffin Show. But what kind of salaries do you think that they made financially? I remember reading somewhere where Otis made a really good living in the early 60s, between $55,000 and $65,000 a year. I know Andy and Aunt B and Barney and Opie probably had larger salaries because they were in just about every episode. But I'm just curious to see what kind of income they made at that time in Los Angeles. I also am interested in the young lady that was always a streetwalker. She never had any speaking comments, but she wore the pearl earrings. She's often seen walking with the gentleman who was Danny Thomas's brother, Tom Jacobs. And then if you watch the old reruns of the Bob Newhart show with Suzanne Pleshette, she's also one of the office workers. You see her on the elevator. You see her at some parties. So she did a lot of extra TV work. So I don't know who she is, but I'm just curious because you see her often. Thanks so much, very much, for taking my call, Mr. Newsom. I'll get back with you again. I'm Gary Page, new to the Mayberry community, but I sure enjoy your podcast. Thank you so much. George Lindsay will surely be missed.
Amen.
Take care, and may God's richest and may God's best be yours. Bye-bye.
Wow, Gary, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, I don't have an answer for you about how much the cast members made on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, some of our other listeners may know the answer to that. I just don't know. I've never actually looked into that at all to see what they actually made during that time frame. And I thought it was an interesting question. So hopefully some of you guys that are listening right now will be able to call in at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com with an answer to that question. I really don't know. Now, the other question he had about the lady that was often seen, well, that lady, we don't know her name. I don't know her name, but we call her Nice Dress Nelly. Because she's a little known, little is known about this lady, but she's been referred to as Nice Dress Nelly because in the episode where Barney arrests the whole town, Andy saves Barney's morale, is the name of the episode. As she's released from the jail with the crowd, Andy acknowledges her and says, "Nice dress, Nelly." So you'll see her in tons of episodes. She's in at least 30 different episodes. And so you'll see her all over the place. Now, there's a page at the Mayberry Historical Society at mayberry.info all about Nelly. It's N-E-L-L-I-E. There's a link in the show notes. So if you'd like to go and check that out, it's got a list of all the episodes that she was listed in or that we've seen her in. So she's kind of like Mr. Schwamp. And Mr. Tom Jacobs that he was referring to, because she is everywhere in Mayberry. So she'd be nice to check it out. We'll have to check out if we can find out who she is by looking at some of the other episodes or TV series that he talked about. All right. So next up, we've got a call in here from Joe Gritton. Now, Joe was the writer of the Mayberry After Midday episodes, the last two episodes, 191 and 192. He was the writer. Now, he asked me at the end of this not to play this until actually we had heard from several of you guys, but we have not been hearing from you very often with comments about what you heard on the podcast. So I hope this will spur you to tell Joe and me what you actually thought about the episode. What you like, what you didn't like, what you thought about it. Was it interesting? Was it a waste of time? Did you not like it? We're not looking here necessarily for just bragging on us, but we'd like to hear some of your comments. So let's hear what Joe's got to say. So here's Joe.
Hey, Alan, this is Joe Gritton, and I'm calling in about Mayberry After Midday. You did a great job of taking my script and really bringing it to life, and that's a dream come true for a writer to be able to see that happen with the sounds of the actual actors' voices. So I just want to say a few words about it, maybe for some of the fans that wondered how this came about. This is our third collaboration on what we call fan fiction. And when I used to write fan fiction for the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board and the website, I always tried to tackle things that we would have liked to seen in Mayberry. For instance, some of my stories out there are about basketball, because we didn't see much about basketball. Another Christmas episode, and more details about Opie's mom. And the key thing, I think, for fan fiction is to stay true to the characters. You know, you take a little poetic license. For instance, in these stories, I made Mr. Swamp the Undertaker. That's what I always imagined his job was after Orville left town. But, you know, you take a little poetic license, but you stay true to the characters and, you know, fit into their mannerisms and habits and so forth. So at this time, what I really would have liked to seen is more from some of the silent characters. And, you know, like Nellie and Mr. Swamp and Edgar Coleman and Hazel, the pianist. And it was really fun to bring them to life. And what I also liked about this story was that it's really kind of a scandal in Mayberry. But when you hear the story, it's not really much went on, you know. A couple people sitting listening to a radio program together behind closed doors. So that's what I really enjoyed about it. Also the fact that we got outside the barbershop again, like we did with our last episode, that some took place in Weaver this time, at Weaver's. This time we ventured out even further and had a lot of goings-on around Mayberry. So save this for last, after the other fans, you know, get a chance to comment. I know what you mean now about wanting feedback, because I'm really interested to see, you know, if there's anything that people liked about it. I sure enjoyed it. Thank you for playing it out, and I hope others like it as well. Signing off, The Untrained Voice. Talk to you later. Thanks.
The Untrained Voice, Joe Gritton. Hey, Joe, thank you so much for calling. And I didn't hold it off till the last, as you see. Joe just sent that in earlier today, actually. And it, as he mentioned, now he's got, there's other fan fiction. If you did enjoy the episodes that we did the last couple of weeks, there's Mayberry fan fiction at the imayberry.com website that Joe had written several things there. Not just Joe. We've got some other people. There's a fella had written the Mayberry Hillbillies, where the Beverly Hillbillies come to Mayberry. That's a pretty cool episode. But there's several in here, like Basketball Regional or Bust, that's written by Joe Gritton. And there's several others like that right in here. If you just look through the list, there's all kinds of cool stories that are fan fiction about our favorite town. So you can read that and just have fun with it and enjoy yourself just reading a little bit of some stories that we never heard in Mayberry, that maybe they happened, maybe they didn't, but it's really fun to read and just be a part of it. So, all right, Joe, thank you for calling. We would like to hear from you, as I said. Give us a call or send in a message or something and let us know what you thought. Now, next up, we've got an email. Not an email, a voicemail from Paul Mulick. He's called in before. Here's Paul.
Hey, Alan, it's Paul Mulick again, calling from Joplin, Missouri. You played some of my calls in previous podcasts, and I was just going to say that I can't get over that strange feeling I heard when I heard my own voice coming at me through my earbuds. It just didn't sound like me.
It's just like
but
Barney.
Anyway, we were talking in a previous podcast, you had mentioned the number of times that Andy fired a gun in the line of duty, and I think you could probably also add Opie in the carnival. Those were most likely air rifles and not real guns, but it was in the line of Andy's duty to stop those crooked con men from running the carnival booth that way and cheating people. So that's another time he fired a gun in the line of duty. 10-4, over and out.
All right. So Paul's writing or calling in to remind us that the episode, I believe, that he's referring to, when I would have probably talked about that, was the Andy Griffith, Just the Facts, or Just the Facts, whatever it's called. It's Andy Griffith. And one of the questions on there is, I can think of three instances where Andy fired a gun in the line of duty. Are there others? And the answer was no. Those were the only three instances that we can think of. A, signaling the beginning of paces in the feud, you know, when they were signaling when they were supposed to pace. Two, finding out Barney's gun was really loaded after Gentleman Dan handed it to him. And C, shooting a tire of the counterfeiter's station wagon. We're sure Miss Crump will be hearing about it if we got anything wrong or any other occasion where Andy fires a revolver. So there you go. So Paul's added another one, which was from Opie and the Carnival, which Andy technically was not, he may not have been firing his revolver, but he was firing a gun to catch the guys that they were cheating because they were setting up those rifles so that they wouldn't shoot straight. So I'll give Paul that. Paul is our trivial expert. He calls in all the time, knows all kinds of things like this. So Paul, I appreciate you calling. And anytime, give us a call. So next up, we got Steve Myers. Let's see what Steve has to say about something kind of almost like Count Isfantalecki had been involved in this situation. So let's hear from Steve.
Hey, Alan, I just wanted to tell you about what happened with me this past Sunday about George Lindsay's passing. It's kind of a strange event, I just thought. My name is Steve Myers. I live in Virginia, and I go to the Mayberry Festival every year. Matter of fact, I've met you a few times, but nevertheless, I was up in North Carolina this past Sunday, so I decided to stop at the Andy Griffith Museum. Well, I had just paid the lady the $3, and me and a friend of mine were in the museum. We'd only been in there a few minutes, and my cell phone rang, and it was my girlfriend back in Virginia. She goes, did you hear about Goober passing? I said, no. I said, well, I'm inside the museum now. She goes, yeah, I just saw it all across the computer. So anyway, after I hung up, the lady cashier there, I asked her about it, and she didn't know anything about it either. And so she immediately got online as well and read it. So I just thought it was kind of strange of all places for me to be. I'm a big, big Mayberry fan. And for me to be inside the Andy Griffith Museum, as a matter of fact, his display was right near me, the one with his coat and everything in it, and the bronze Goober beanie and all that. It was just really, really weird. So I just thought I would pass that. Anyway, appreciate what you do, and take care.
Well, Steve, hey, thanks for calling in and giving us that. That would be, I don't know, Andy would probably go. To be at the Andy Griffith Museum when you found out about somebody passing like George, that would be a strange feeling, especially you're standing there looking at the coat. Now, what he's talking about, the Andy Griffith Museum, they have the coat that the suit, really, that Goober wore on the Andy Griffith show. Now, that was given to the museum by George back in August of 2010, if I remember right. And so it was a big deal to get it and to be standing there right in front of it when you found out that George had passed away. That would certainly be an unusual feeling. So George, wow, George is going to be missed so much, or he already is, and we'll always have the memories of him and be able to see that suit and see his hat and everything at the Andy Griffith Museum. If you hadn't been there, there's links in the show notes where you can go and check out the website for the Andy Griffith Museum. It's andygriffithmuseum.com, and you can head there yourself at some point and check out everything in Mount Airy, North Carolina. All right, so next up, we're going to hear from Tim Bradshaw. Now, Tim enjoys the show, and he's made it part of his routine. That's what he's telling me. And he's got some information that he realized that he found on the episode Ernest T. Bass Joins the Army. So let's hear from Tim.
Hi, Alan. This is Tim Bradshaw from South Carolina. Yeah, I just want to let you know I just discovered recently your podcast. Enjoy them very much, and it's becoming part of my weekly routine now. And just for a little bit of feedback, is one of the things that I enjoy doing is just after watching all the reruns over and over and over, you start learning a little bit more about the streets of Mayberry. And just one of my most recent discoveries is when Ernest T. joins the Army, when they're walking down the sidewalk with the glass, they say it's for the courthouse, but if you notice, they're walking toward the theater, which is the opposite direction of the courthouse. Just one of the little fun things. Just getting into the show a little bit and looking forward to your podcast every week now. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Wow, Tim, thanks for that. I had never noticed that, or if I had noticed it, I didn't ever really put it in my mind that it was happening. But sure enough, if you watch that episode, you can actually see the two guys walking in front of the theater away from the hotel with a squad car right behind them at the hotel, following them down the street, trying to protect the window that Ernest T. Bass has decided, you know, he's gonna break out. So as they're walking there, they walk down the sidewalk, and this is the music that plays while it's doing it. But they're walking down through there. Andy and Barney are trying to protect this window. Now, if you'll remember that, Ernest T. Bass joins the Army, and they try to protect it as they're carrying this supposedly to the courthouse. And Tim caught that they're actually going the wrong way.
That's the new glass for our courthouse.
I'll handle this, Andy. Stand back.
All right, Bass.
I'm going to break that glass. You better set it down.
You stand back, Bass. Just stand back.
Stand aside, deputy. I'm going to break that glass.
No, you ain't.
Yes, I ain't.
No, you ain't. Now, you drop that rock and you get over here.
So, of course, Barney broke the window, and, you know, in the end, Ernest T. gets Barney's suit as he goes out through there. Now, just as a little bit of reminding you about this, I did an episode back, episode number 121. It's called Don Knotts' Ferreira Friends. You might want to go back and listen to that podcast episode, because in that, we also found out that Ernest T. breaks a window out of Rich Ferrara's hardware store. Now, Richard Ferrara is his name. Richard Ferrara is the real name of one of Don Knotts' lifelong friends in Morgantown, West Virginia, and was mentioned there on the Andy Griffith Show when they mentioned that Ernest T. broke the window out of his hardware store. So go back and check that out as well. I think you'll enjoy it when you go. So that's all the feedback I have tonight, I do believe. Let's see if I got, if I missed anybody. Nope, I don't think I missed anybody. So, folks, I just want to thank you for coming to the show. I want to encourage you to give us your feedback. So give us a call at 888-684-8415 and leave a comment. You can go by our podcast website, as I said, and you can leave comments right there on the page, written. Or you can use that send voicemail link that's right there on the side. You can also go by our Facebook page. There's so many ways to leave comments for me. And all the links are there on our website at twochairsnowaiting.com. We would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you, because I like to know what you think and what you think of the show. So, folks, again, thank you for spending some time with me here in Mayberry, and I hope you have a wonderful Mayberry week, and we'll see you next time here on Two Chairs, No Waiting. Till then, see you later. Bye, guys.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.